And you're welcome back to the programme. 14 minutes past five is the time. Well, on the evening of the 7th of September into the 8th of September, just gone, a total lunar eclipse, also known as a blood moon, was seen across much of the globe, giving observers the chance to watch Earth's shadow creep across the surface of the moon. And this blood moon lunar eclipse was visible across the UK and Europe, but the best places to see it were Central Asia and Australia. And there, observers and photographers got to see the whole lunar eclipse from start to finish. I'm joined online now by one of our regular contributors, David Moore from Astronomy Ireland. David, good evening to you, and as always, welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much, Aidan.
Why did this particular lunar eclipse garner so much publicity?
Well, I think eclipses always do. Eclipses of the sun, total eclipses of the sun, which are really quite a different thing, but they are said to be the most spectacular sight in nature when day turns to night. But we haven't had one of those in Ireland since 1724, and you're marking your calendar, the next one in Ireland won't be until 2090, but we've over 60 years to wait, so the trick is to travel. In fact, there'll be one in Spain next August. People might want to start booking the holidays between about northern Madrid and Valencia. If you see any brochures with apartments, holiday homes, whatever, around the 12th of August next year, book it for a total eclipse of the sun. I've been lucky to see two around the world in my lifetime, and they are incredible. But back to lunar eclipses, I think when the full moon vanishes and drops by a factor of brightness of nearly a million, something people don't really say a lot. They think the moon's just going to turn from white to red. It doesn't. It turns from blindingly white full moon down to an extremely dim blood red moon. And that red colour is caused by light being bent by the Earth's atmosphere into its shadow. So technically that blood moon is being lit up by every single sunset and sunrise on the planet at that moment. So a remarkable feat of nature.
Many people may have seen online many images of this particular total lunar eclipse. Why should we be this interested? I suppose, why did so many of these images come from Asia and Australia? Why were these parts of the world the best places to see it?
Well, in this particular case, imagine this scenario. You're out in space looking at the sun, the Earth and the moon, and they're in a perfectly straight line for the eclipse. They have to be for the Earth's shadow to fall onto the moon. Now, the side of the Earth that's facing the moon, they're going to see the eclipse. The side that's facing the sun, well, you see nothing. Well, you see the sun, it's broad daylight. So the Americas, for instance, saw nothing. Ireland, we just missed totality. The moon was totally eclipsed a few minutes before it rose in Ireland. So we just missed it. But we got a very deep partial eclipse. And people, we know in Cork, Kerry and Leash got photographs, which are going in the next issue of Astronomy Ireland magazine. But if you were further east, we had a few members who were on holidays in, I saw pictures from Cyprus, Crete, Greece. They obviously often have clear skies as well as being far enough east towards Asia. But if you're in Asia, of course, it was overhead, very high up. So you had before the moon was eclipsed, you had a full moon sitting in the sky. It takes about an hour to go into the Earth's shadow, almost vanishes, stays in there for over an hour, and then comes out the other side. So if you had a grandstand view like that, you are definitely going to watch it. And of course, practically everybody these days is carrying around a powerful camera in their pocket on their phone. And we're always in Ireland trying to get people to photograph things. For instance, did everybody listening last night, Monday night, go out and look at the moon and see the planet Saturn easily with the naked eye and snap it with their camera phone? If they did, they didn't tell us. So you're missing all these sights every month. But I think the proliferation of camera phones and the fact that Asia had the thing high overhead, that's why you're seeing so many pictures from there.
And as a matter of interest, David, what does this tell us about the universe, I suppose, but perhaps less so? But what do we learn from this?
Yeah, well, eclipses, you see, today we know what they are. It's just, we now know the Earth goes around the sun. Remember, ancient peoples didn't know that. We know the moon goes around the Earth every month, 30 days. That's where the word month comes from. But they were wondering what was going on. Why would a bright moon suddenly dim away and turn the colour of blood? So it scared out of them in ancient times. And people were very superstitious about eclipses. So, for instance, the Greek Empire fell as a result of a total eclipse during a major battle. One of the Greek attackers got so scared, the leader, the general, that he turned his armada around. The people they were attacking weren't scared of eclipses, different superstition for them, and they attacked and, I think, killed 20,000 men, sank 600 ships. That was practically the end of the Greek Empire, and we might all be speaking Greek today instead of English. But then it happened to the Roman Empire after that, toward the end of the Roman Empire anyway. Constantinople was being attacked, and they couldn't get into it. It was an extremely well-defended city. But there was a legend that if the moon turned red, it would be bad news for the city. Duly, there was a total eclipse of the moon. The defenders got so scared they didn't rebuild all the damage done by the previous attacks. The city was sacked, and that was the official end of the Roman Empire. And we might all be speaking Latin today if it weren't for that. So they've had actually a profound effect on our culture today and human history, but it's only because of the superstition. Wouldn't you know, the rather unromantic fact that it's just the shadow of the earth falling on the moon. It's not much use. And all you can do today is prove to the flat earthers that the earth is round and it's bigger than the moon. Because if you look at those photographs and the moon's going into and out of the earth shadow, you'll see the curve of the edge of the moon is much steeper, it's a much smaller circle than the curve of the earth shadow, proving the earth is bigger than the moon and round. Because all the eclipses we have, you always get a round shadow, so therefore we must be sitting on a sphere. So tough luck, flat earthers.
And, David, is there any particular reason why the event is so infrequent?
Yeah, I mean, the Earth goes around the sun, and if you imagine that's happening on your tabletop, well, the moon's orbit is not also on the tabletop, it's tilted a bit, about 5 degrees. So it usually means that the moon goes above the Earth's shadow when it lines up with the sun. So we get a full moon and a new moon when the sun, Earth, and moon line up. But usually the moon will go above the shadow or below the shadow. The moon's really actually quite far away from us. It's about 30 times the width of the Earth away from the Earth. That doesn't always show in diagrams that are not drawn to scale, but that's the actual fact of the matter. But it has to line up at least twice a year. You can get up to 7 eclipses of the sun and the moon each year. And on top of it being perfectly lined up, you've got to be on the side facing the moon. So we actually had another near total eclipse of the moon in March. We had it all in the magazine. We told everybody to go out and watch it. Another reason to get the magazine if you don't already, if you missed the March eclipse. There'll be another partial eclipse of the moon next year in August. And then there won't be a total eclipse of the moon visible from Ireland until New Year's Eve in 2028. So you have over a 3-year wait before we get what they got in Asia. And I have to disappoint people a little bit and tell them that it's happening very close to sunset. So the moon will be quite low down, so it won't be overhead like some people in Asia had. Having worked out how many years go by before we see those. So you see, they are quite rare. And on top of all that, in Ireland, you've got to factor in the Irish weather. And the rough statistic here is that 3 out of 4 nights are totally cloudy, which means you're only going to see 1/4 of all the full moons. And this ends up meaning that, you know, you're probably only going to see a total eclipse of the moon from Ireland in good conditions a couple of times a lifetime. So make sure you get out and see all the partial ones like next year as well.
Before we finish, you were on this program several years ago and you were telling us that Elon Musk, I have to say back then I hadn't heard of him, everyone knows who he is now, but that his intention was to put people on Mars. How is that particular project developing for him now that he's very busy on social media and perhaps having a tete-a-tete on a regular basis with the US president?
Yeah, well, his foray into politics hasn't slowed him up much. If you read Astronomy on magazine, they have a space column every month detailing what he and the rest of the industry are up to each month. And he's building this massive Starship spacecraft. So if you remember the Saturn V rocket that went to the moon, it was about 360 feet high and developed 7 million pounds of thrust. The rocket he's developing is 500 feet high and going for 16 million pounds of thrust. So it'll easily get to the moon, and he's still got a target of 2060 to have 1 million people on Mars. There's only ever been 600-odd people in space, let alone on Mars. A lot of people think it's a bit crazy, but he's launching all these tests several times a year. He has the spacecraft. He's the world's richest person. And so, you know, in one way, we sort of wish him luck. In the other way, it's a daunting task. And, you know, get Astronomy On magazine. Read about this every month. It costs about €1 a week. Astronomy.ie is the website. We'll be having a big report of the eclipse, especially with those Irish photographs of the moon slipping out of the Earth shadow. And, of course, there's a huge annual star party. Everybody on the island is invited to on Saturday week. Starbecue. Barbecue under the stars to see the planet Saturn and the wonders of the universe. It's all on astronomy.ie.
Very good, David. We leave it there. As always, many thanks indeed for joining us on the programme this evening. Fascinating stuff. David Moore of Astronomy Ireland, Chairman of Astronomy Ireland, regular on the programme. Brings the time now to 26 minutes to, I beg your pardon, past 5 o'clock. We'll take a break.